Welcome to the Advancing Surgical Care Podcast, brought to you by ASCA, the Ambulatory Surgery Center Association. ASCA represents the interests of outpatient surgery centers of every specialty and provides advocacy and resources to assist them in providing safe, high-quality, cost-effective patient care. As with all of ASCA's communications, please check to make sure you are listening to or viewing our most up-to-date podcasts and announcements.
Hello and welcome to the Advancing Surgical Care Podcast. I'm Bill Prentice, Chief Executive Officer of the Ambulatory Surgery Center Association, or ASCA, and host of this episode. My guest today is Dr. Abby Vandersol, Vice President of Quality and Clinical Services at AmSurg. Prior to assuming her current leadership role at AmSurg, Dr. Vandersol served in a similar capacity at Envision Healthcare. Dr. Vandersol is a graduate of Columbia University and received her medical education and training at the Ohio State University College of Medicine. I'm eager to talk with Abby today about the progress that has been made in reducing both the incidence of colorectal cancer and colorectal cancer-related deaths in the country, due almost entirely to the early detection of trouble signs that colonoscopy screenings provide. March was Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, and both ASCA and many of our members were busy telling the story to the media and our elected officials. And as part of that story, we thought it was important to recognize the historic role that ambulatory surgery centers have played in making colonoscopies more affordable and more accessible to millions of patients. Abby's employer, AmSurg, knows this as well or better than anyone, since they perform more than a million colonoscopies each year through its affiliate ASCs. So with that brief introduction, let me welcome Dr. Abby Vandersol to the podcast. Hi, Abby.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you having me. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Well, Abby, before we dive into today's topic, could you take a couple of minutes and tell us a little bit more about yourself and how your medical education and training led you to a leadership position in assuring clinical quality in ambulatory surgery centers at AmSurg?
Sure thing. So I actually have a very atypical background. When I introduce myself on calls, I typically say that I am a physician by education, but a consultant by training. And of course, I'm partially kidding when I say that, but I do also think it's a very accurate explanation of who I am and how I think. So backing up a little bit to give more context, I did go to medical school, and at the time, I had every intention of practicing clinically. However, in my third year of medical school, we had our first and unfortunately only lecture on healthcare economics and the business of healthcare. And during that lecture, they showed the graph that many of your listeners are probably very familiar with, which is the healthcare outcomes on the y-axis, and that's plotted against percent of GDP spend on the x-axis. And it basically shows that despite spending nearly double what comparable countries around the world spend on healthcare, we in the U.S. do not see the expected improvement in life expectancy and or the decline in disease burden that we would like to see it as a result of that spend. So if I simplify that even further, it basically says that the U.S. has a highly inefficient healthcare system. So I saw this, and honestly, on one hand, it broke my heart. And on the other hand, I was energized when I saw all the opportunities for improvement. And then later that day, actually, after that lecture, I went back on my rotation and I was watching the resident place orders for one of our patients. And as she was checking box after box for test after test, all I was seeing was dollar sign after dollar sign. And that was kind of my light bulb moment to say, hey, the thing that really intrigues me and the thing that I am most passionate about is trying to improve the value of healthcare delivery in the U.S. So I worked at Bain, and for me, that was a tremendous learning opportunity. It's interesting. Clinicians are trained to be accurate, and I completely understand how that came to be. There are detrimental effects for being wrong in the healthcare system. But to bring it back to your question about my journey, I'm incredibly thankful for these two experiences because I believe that both medical school provided me with the context and content of healthcare. It provided me with the opportunity to see a lot of challenges firsthand and also provided me with the awareness to have a practical gut check on what types of innovations might work or not work in reality, while Bain taught me to think and problem solve really effectively. But after Bain, I ended up as chief of staff on the medical group side of Envision Healthcare for 3 years, which at the time was a $10 billion transformation organization. So day in and day out, we were trying to figure out how to optimize the behind-the-scenes support for our 25,000 clinicians nationwide, and also doing a few innovative value-based care pilots, which was actually a lot of fun. Unfortunately, some of the healthcare headwinds were stronger than we were, and Envision, the umbrella company, filed for bankruptcy last year. And then upon successful emergence from that Chapter 11 filing, AmSurg, which was formerly our sister company, split off as its own enterprise, and I joined the AmSurg team to oversee all of our clinical operations at that time. So all of that to say, I'm really excited to be with AmSurg today. We have a phenomenal team that I work with, and we have a lot of tailwinds at our back right now. So I'm really excited to see how we can scale in the coming months or years and bring that higher value care to more and more patients.
Well, Abby, that's a fascinating path that you took to get to AmSearch, which obviously is a great company and a great member of ASCA. And, you know, we always enjoy, you know, working with AmSearch on a host of issues. And if it makes you feel better, I'm a lawyer who's never practiced law. So
it does make me feel better. Thanks.
So as I mentioned in my introduction, getting back to colorectal screening, the country has experienced a significant reduction in the incidence of colorectal cancer and colorectal cancer-related deaths. To what can we attribute that?
Yeah, so this actually was a big topic at NCCRT, or the National Colon Cancer Roundtable, this past winter, because the data is really interesting. So first off, you are correct. Pre-COVID, we were seeing a consistent year-over-year improvement in compliance with screening rates for those 50 and older. And we were actually approaching roughly 70% compliance in 2019. In 2012, that same number was 65%. So great progress being made there. We did see a drop off due to COVID. As you know, many people fell off their preventative health screenings at that time. But then we also did see a post-COVID surge in screenings as people tried to catch up, so to speak. That's all honestly starting to even out now. And I think we're going to be back on track with our pre-COVID growth forecast here in 2024. I am being very specific to individuals aged 50 and over, because as you know, in May 2021, the U.S. Preventative Task Force issued new guidance and lowered the age of onset for preventative screening for those of average risk from 50 to 45. And when we look at individuals aged 45 to 50, we're actually not seeing that same rate of screening compliance that we're seeing in individuals 50 or over. So if I summarize that in short, screening rates are improving, which is great, but that's largely driven by those 50 and older.
I think that you're absolutely right that I don't think it's penetrated like the public consciousness of that 45-year, you know, new recommendation. And I think we all have a lot of work to do to kind of educate, you know, patients to not wait till 50.
I think you hit the nail on the head. And I think those things are happening and those actions are happening. It will just take time to translate into the data, so to speak. But I do anticipate age 45 and 50 will catch up in the coming year. So that's the first factor. I believe all the awareness campaigns by the Colon Cancer Alliance, the Colon Cancer Coalition, Fight CRC, they're all doing great work. And I think that's having an impact. The second that's drastically driving impact is the accessibility of screening solutions. So most know that colonoscopy is the best screening tool for colon cancer detection and prevention, but there's actually many new at-home solutions available. So these include FIT tests, tests like Cologuard, which honestly many of your listeners are probably very familiar with because they're always marketing. But these solutions are less invasive, which is great. They're also really attractive for individuals that are hesitant to undergo a colonoscopy. The flag here is patients that take these tests do have to be more diligent with their follow-up, but at least they can be done in the comfort of their own home. I'd also anticipate in the next couple of years, I'd say, that blood-based testing will be brought to market, which will be a great improvement as well in driving accessibility. And then the final thing I'd say is affordability of screening. The ACA required that insurance companies cover preventative screenings like colonoscopies at no cost to the patient. So that was a big win. And then in recent years, Exact, who makes Cologuard, has been really successful getting Cologuard covered by most insurance companies. So now the vast majority of patients don't have any out-of-pocket costs for that test. And that same can be applied for many of the other at-home solutions. So all that to say, it's multifactorial, but the major drivers are probably the awareness campaigns, the accessibility, and the affordability. But in general, I'm just glad to see improvement in compliance, and I hope it continues in the years to come.
Well, that's great. And, you know, and I want to just kind of go back over some of that, because the fact is that despite all the progress that we've been talking about, as you've noted, there's still a lot of people who are either unaware of their risk factors and would benefit from a screening, or may just have an aversion or reluctance to the actual procedure, which is why things like Cologuard and others are out there. But how does a provider like AmSearch address these issues with reluctant or uninformed patients?
Yeah, so as you said, one of the major drivers is people just being uninformed. So I appreciate you teeing me up for this one. I'm going to take this opportunity to be a bit boring here for a second and just run through the colon cancer screening guidelines, because I do think it's important to use every opportunity to get the message out there. So first questions first.
Just to be clear, it's usually my job to be boring on these, but I'll allow it.
I can hand over the screening guidelines if you want to read them. So first things first, who should get screened? The American Cancer Society recommends that people of average risk of colon cancer start screening at the age of 45. Individuals are considered to be of average risk if they do not have any of the following. And I apologize, four things I'm going to quickly list off here. One, a personal history of colon cancer or certain types of polyps. Two, a family history of colon cancer. Three, a personal history of IBD or inflammatory bowel disease. And four, a confirmed or suspected hereditary colon cancer syndrome. So again, if you are 45 or older today and you do not have one of those risk factors, please take action today. If you are not 45 or older, fun fact, you do know someone who is. So nudge them, remind them. I love amplifying messages. So if two people listening today take action and tell two other people and then ask those two people to tell two people, the snowball effect can be pretty profound. If you do have any of the four risk factors that I laid out that would make you higher risk, please consult your healthcare provider. Honestly, those recommendations can be highly variable, so I'm not going to make any sweeping generalizations today. But the important fact is just that you take action and speak with your healthcare provider. So again, quick recap, 45 and older, average risk factors, please take action in getting screened. If you have any of the four risk factors I discussed, please discuss with your healthcare provider. And then everyone, please just help us to get the message out there. Nudge those around you.
Well, I was just going to say, Abby, as the only person I think on this podcast who has had a number of colonoscopies already, because of I'm a little bit older than you, and actually you've had to have one every 3 years because of a family history, I just want to tell people it is not as bad as people think. It is actually a very simple, easy procedure. It's well worth it. So if anyone is a little bit hesitant, let me tell you from personal experience, you have nothing to be afraid of. Go ahead, get your colonoscopy.
Bill, I appreciate you letting us know. And honestly, it's full anesthesia anymore. So many people either say, like you, it's not that bad, or they just say they don't remember it. And AmSurg and our teammates are working tirelessly to prevent any sort of change in that policy. So hopefully that protection for patients stays in place.
Exactly. Well, Abby, we have time for one more question. So looking ahead, I'm wondering if you can discuss any ongoing research or innovation projects within AmSurg related to colorectal cancer detection, treatment, or patient care that you could share with us.
Sure. So as you know, research is the foundation for all growth and innovation in the healthcare space. We can only understand what we understand, and we can only understand what we have data on, to be honest with you. So AmSurg recognizes that we're really uniquely positioned to collect those data points simply because the sheer volume of patients that we see in the space. Our physician partners have performed over 1 million colonoscopies to date. So with that said, I would say we take a two-pronged approach to clinical research. Internally, we're focused on improving quality of care, and we're also focused on improving patient awareness. So in terms of quality, we are always collecting and reviewing our clinical data. Honestly, I could talk for hours about our clinical data that's available, but this includes metrics like adenoma detection rate or serious safety events. The metric I'm probably most proud of at AmSurg is our ADR, or adenoma detection rate. Our average rate is 41%, which is double the national average. If you're listening and you're not clinical, let me translate this into English for you real quick. It basically means that our physicians are incredibly diligent and thorough about finding those tiny and sometimes almost invisible precancerous lesions or cancer precursors in the colon and essentially stopping colon cancer in its tracks very early on, which is a big win. So I'll give a lot of credit to our IT team. They've built a lot of data solutions where I can cut the data in a multitude of ways. And that allows me and our clinical team either to recognize areas of strength that we can learn from and create best practices around, or recognize areas of opportunity early on. And we can send our clinical team into the field and provide education and mitigation very early on. Separately, we do also have a lot of non-clinical data. So here are things, demographic data or SES factors, for example, and we do identify that, of course. And then broadly, we use that data to inform our overall screening rates. So as we discussed earlier, nationally, we aren't in 100% compliance with colon cancer screening. And we use that data to not only hypothesize why that might be the case, but also to identify specific age groups or zip codes or payer mixes, for example, that are lagging behind in screening, and then feed that information to marketing so they can work to inform those specific populations about the need for colon cancer screening and prevention. So just as a tactical example, right now, like we talked about, we're really closely watching that 40 to 50 year old age group and seeing how that screening rate tracks and trends. And then back to our second prong, honestly, just in terms of partnerships, we recognize there's a lot of great companies and health systems out there that are driving improvements in the colon cancer screening space. So when appropriate, we just partner with them so that they can enhance their data collection through us and their solution development can be great in the long run. I'd say as a final example there, a fun one, you can't go through a conversation without mentioning VBC and AI. So I'm going to hit AI for you here, Bill. So we can compare our physicians that are currently leveraging AI technology for polyp detection to those who aren't. And then we can give feedback to the companies developing those solutions with the ultimate goal of improving clinical care long term. So a lot going on, a lot done, but still a lot to do. I'm actually headed to your neck of the woods, DC, next week with a few members of our marketing team to take part and fight CRC's call on Congress. It's a 4-day event where we'd be advocating for Congress to make meaningful policy change and also to continue enhanced funding to support colon cancer research. So, Bill, if you're around and you're available, you're welcome to join us.
Well, that's great. I would love to do that because obviously I completely support your mission. ASCA very much obviously supports everything that our members are doing to try and prevent these cancers and make sure that patients are doing these screenings. So again, appreciate what you're doing. Appreciate you traveling to Washington and advocating on this stuff. And I very much appreciate you taking a little time out of your very busy career to talk with me today. And I also want to thank both you and AmSurg for your membership and support for ASCA and for helping us to provide these podcasts and other important advocacy tools. So we very much value your participation and input. And thank you for spending a few minutes with me today.
Thanks, Bill. It's been a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you having me.
So finally, for anyone listening who would like to learn more about colonoscopies and colorectal cancer awareness, please visit the ASCA website at ascassociation.org. Thank you.